Hey, you're not going to want to miss this podcast today. We're going to be talking about a lot of things that are happening right now on the evening news, including President Biden's redefinition of Title IX, which has incredible implications regarding free speech, sexual harassment, all kinds of sexual perversion put into the federal code. A lot to be concerned about there. We're going to talk about that. But we're also talking about Ishtar, the third member of the Dark Trinity. So today we're going to talk about the masculinization of women. What is happening in our culture today that is actually turning our ladies into men? There's a lot going on. We're going to decipher it in the podcast. You will not want to miss it.
Hey, welcome to the Ron Johnson Discipleship Podcast.
We are back today in a familiar spot. We threw you off last week on episode 200. I hope you guys enjoyed that little preview of the sanctuary, which, by the way, we've seen incredible progress since then. We've got carpeting now going everywhere, nice. Almost done. I think it's supposed to be done by the end of the week, which really gives it kind of that finished feel.
Yeah.
And then I have to say, a couple of the guys came out. I think Pastor Jerry was over there yesterday, and they were ramping up the sound system. And I think there's only, what, 3 out of 10 speakers or something like that going, and it would rattle the dentures out of someone's mouth in the main sanctuary, in the old sanctuary. So we got some sound going on over there, and lights. It's going to be really, really great. And I'll tell all of our listeners, I heard you actually coming up to the studio today. I heard moaning and groaning. And then, so you're back to the wife.
Yeah, I was telling Pastor, I'm in that phase when after you work out, it takes like, there's like a delay. It's like 2 or 3 days before you even get sore. That's when you know things aren't going the right direction.
And you did the big leg workout, so every step I heard you moaning and groaning out there.
I'm like, what did I do yesterday? I was like, no, it wasn't yesterday. It was 2 days ago.
Yeah, the second day is always the worst day.
Well, it used to be like you get sore immediately. When I say used to, I'm talking about like 25 years ago. And then you recover and you're back in it. And I was like, I need 2 weeks to recover before I can get back to the gym.
Now, I was looking for inspiration to get back because I've been a little delinquent, been traveling a little
bit.
You're
not going
to
get it from me.
And I hear you moaning and groaning. I'm like, oh, man, Andrew's not helping me out today.
No, I've become a walker at the YMCA. When my kids are doing sports, I'm like, you know what? Today's a walk in the lab day.
So. There's a thin line between being a walker and using a walker.
I'm trying to be a walker, so I'm not using the walker soon.
But hey, we're having fun. It's in spite of what the craziness going on in the world, we're having fun. And I wanted to read something that I thought was really good. It said, poll reveals highest rate of scripture disengagement, scripturally disengaged, rather, Americans. It's time to take discipleship seriously, which is why we call this the Ron Johnson Discipleship Podcast. But this study starts off, it says, look around the world right now. There's a war between Russia and Ukraine. Israel and Iran stand at the edge of one. Currently, the U.S. is facing a severe national security threat with a wide-open southern border. Millions of illegal immigrants are flooding in, and a surprising amount are harming and killing innocent American citizens. Zero in even further, and we see just how messy the public square is. We've got LGBT ideology that is infiltrating every aspect of society. We'll talk about that next. Abortion is one of the top priorities of America's current presidential administration and the Democratic Party. And we see death, promiscuity, and destruction promoted all around, and it begs so many questions. And then they ask the question, what's going on? And they go into a study done by the American Bible Society. And basically what they are finding, I'll cut to the chase here, 57% of all Americans, according to the poll, are scripture disengaged. That simply means that they are not reading their Bibles any longer. And even while, again, a majority of Americans would call themselves Christians, we've got a lot of people that just are not in the Word. And the whole point, again, of not being in the Word is the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. If Christians are biblically illiterate and the American people are biblically illiterate, then we have no answers for all of this chaos that's being, encouraged by the current administration, which, by the way, we do have a primary coming up, and I encourage all of our listeners, make sure you vote in the primary. I'm going to be out of town that week, so I'm going to have to go do early voting, but I'm going to make sure I get on and vote because it's very, very important. Of course, the November election, national elections, are even more important as it relates to which direction our nation is headed. That's discouraging, obviously, if we have folks that are just simply disengaged, not getting in, not studying the Word, not spending time hearing God's view on the issues. It creates a serious vacuum.
Well, it's interesting because this morning I meet with a group of business guys, and we're just chatting, and the discussion was that right now in terms of the pillars of truth, shall we say, media, federal government, I think all kind of studies and survey and polls are showing that trust in those institutions are like low, all-time lows.
Yeah.
And on the same time, one person was mentioning how just his observation, you know, social media and Facebook, is like a lot of people are turning to go to churches. Well, to me, when people can't live without truth.
Yeah.
Like relativism is not, is unlivable lifestyle.
Yeah.
You can talk about all you want. It's a cool thing to mention.
True for you, not for me.
Yeah, it's a good thing in academic ideology to discuss about. But the truth is, when you walk into a room, you need truth to know that chair is going to hold me. There's air in there.
Yeah.
The light will turn on when it turns on. Truth is, we can't live without objective truth.
That's right.
So when all those pillars of truth are diminished, there's a vacuum for. Mm-hmm. So that's why people are turning. And the question is, when they are turning to the churches or other Christian venues, are they getting the truth?
Right.
Because that's the vacuum that needs to be filled. If you understand that about human psychology and human nature, we have a captive audience who is looking for truth.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and you brought up a really good point, and I don't want to go off too far on a bunny trail here, but people generally trust their pastors, and because their pastors are people who are sharing the word, right? Mm-hmm. And I just read a study. In fact, on the 15th of May, I believe it is. I think that's the third Wednesday. We're having a doctor come in that's going to talk about the great COVID hoax. And this is a doctor who knows the studies, who's looking at all the data, and who was actually saving lives during the pandemic. But he forwarded me an interesting article that shows the government, the Biden administration, was actually targeting leading pastors and pretty much giving them the script, saying, we need you. And this is what they said. People trust their pastors. And so if you're up there saying, look, I got the jab, and I'm encouraging you to do it, and then they gave them the script. How many times did we hear this? The love your neighbor angle. So they took scripture out of context. They applied it to a vaccine. They lied about the vaccine's 95% efficacy, which is not true. They lied about a lot of other things. And then they gave pastors a script and said, we really need you guys to help us drive the vaccine rate up. Biden wanted to have it at 75% of the American population had been vaccinated. And of course, you know, he started yelling and screaming at everybody that wasn't vaccinated and calling us, you know, conspiracy theorists and everything else. But the point was this, they were having Zoom calls with pastors all across America, feeding them the script and basically doing it from a position of, you know, moral high ground, saying, you know, this is what pastors should be doing, is telling all their people to go get vaccinated, and then taking scripture out of context to justify it. So to your point, every single institution has been questioned, and one of the few remaining would be, hey, let's trust our pastor. And even the pastors were compromised, and a lot of it had to do with money. Surprising surprise, right? The government was going to help you with this by sending you money. So anyway, we've got to talk about these things. In fact, this gives me a chance to highlight Sunday. We're going to be talking about a new series called Men and Women in Christ, and we're going to deal with the truth surrounding a lot of these issues about masculinity, femininity, and I think it's going to be really good. Because again, if we don't talk about it, to your point, who is?
Well, we got to go back to the scriptures. We got to go back to the teaching of the scriptures and not whatever modern teaching there is, because people are longing for that deep in their heart. They are longing for truth.
Yep.
And we know where the truth comes from. Not my opinion.
Yep.
Not what I feel is right.
Francis Schaeffer said this. He said, whatever's being promulgated in the culture, you know, whatever's on the news now, whatever the mainstream media is pushing now, will eventually be preached in the church 7 years later. It's, you know, we're even, in other words, they're going to compromise. They'll compromise 7 years later, which means they're already out of fashion, right?
Yeah. That's just so, like, unappealing. Like, it's just that feeling of not being on. I want to be on the cutting edge. And when I say cutting edge, I don't even mean new. I want to be on the forefront of what truth really is. And to do that right now, we have to go back to the past, right?
Yeah, we have to go back, like you said, to the Word of God.
To the Word of God. And for me, the thought of being parroting the larger culture or downstream of a large, look, I'm not, what do you say? I'm like technology. I'm a slow follower. I'm a slow adapter.
Late,
right?
Adapter. Yeah.
Late adapter in technology, fashion. That's not even talk about it. Music. Don't know anybody, but in terms of truth, I don't want to be a slow adapter. I want to be the cutting edge adherent to the original truth and forefront of that.
So you look at this. To your point, the study we just highlighted, which says most Americans are biblically, scripturally disengaged, mm-hmm. you're not going to be an early adapter, or you're not going to stand for truth if you don't know the truth.
Yeah.
You don't know what God says, and you're just following the cloud of culture, and it gets darker and darker. Yeah. Speaking of which, this administration, we cannot get rid of fast enough, in my opinion. Biden just rewrote Title IX. This, of course, was a civil rights statute that was designed to protect women's rights, women's sports, all these kinds of things. Says the Biden administration obliterates the unique rights intended for women and girls by changing Title IX's prohibitions of discrimination against females in education to apply to men who identify as women, regardless of their outward appearance, as well as those who identify as homosexual. So what he did was he completely changed the amendment, or what was the word I'm looking for? Prohibition.
Statute.
There we go. The statute. He changed the statute. Again, this was by federal fiat. In other words, the administration, who does not have power, they have executive power, right? Not legislative power. They don't get to make the law, but that's exactly what they did. They by fiat, they just rewrote it. There was no debate or anything. And what's equally concerning is they basically redefined the statute, the legal statute for proving sexual harassment. They lowered it to the most simple threshold. In other words, sexual harassment is if you and I are at a university and I look at you and I say, that is so stupid to think that a man can have a period or a man can breastfeed or a man can have a baby. That's considered harassment because there might be a transgender in there and you just offended him or her. And now they could basically accuse you of harassment. You're not going to be considered innocent until proven guilty. You're not going to have a jury. You're not going to have any of that. You're going to have a federal investigator who has the unilateral power to determine whether or not you're guilty of harassment. And then these woke schools, if the federal investigator says, oh, yeah, you can't say that, then you'll be punished, fined, kicked out of school, whatever it is. And so the goal of this, again, is to cause students to self-censor. They're just going to sit in class. Some woke professors are going to shove this ridiculous ideology down their throats. And if they object in any way or try to push back or argue for the other side, it's viewed as harassment. So why in the world would you want to go through all that? So you know what's going to happen to Christian young people at universities. They're just going to sit there like bumps on a log and not say anything, because why risk their education or their future by simply stating the common sense, obvious, biologically driven fact, right? And so this is especially alarming. And the crazy thing is, again, this has been going on, you know, where the executive branch just makes up the laws. And I don't know why those in Congress aren't throwing a fit, because basically they're irrelevant. They're supposed to be making laws, but now the executive branch gets to, and in an increasing fashion, the Supreme Court gets to determine what the law is, right? So our whole system is turned upside down. Yeah. And as you and I talked about, it's deeply concerning, because once these things get put in the law, how do you get them out of the law? In a legal way, you know, it's a very messy, slow process.
Yeah, nothing I like more than a federal investigator in my public education in the realm of universities. And it's like, that's where our federal t- tax dollars are going to.
Yeah. So again, I'm to the point where, you know, you used to try to say, look, let's just take the scriptures and apply it, and then you guys make your choice on who you're voting for. But if we just took time to lay out what the Democratic agenda is and then compare it with scripture, I mean, these folks are absolutely antichrist in their agenda. And I don't think I'd have a problem promoting that or defending that, from everything from the lawlessness that we're seeing to the LGBTQ, whatever other letters, agenda, to the rabid pro-abortion, no restrictions at all on abortion. I mean, I just don't know, as a Christian, how do you reconcile these things?
Well, it's also a free speech issue.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, that in itself is...
It's kind of a major thing.
Yeah, a little bit on the college campus.
If you share a biblical view, you're guilty of sexual harassment. You know, that's kind of an issue, I mean, in my mind anyway. I mean, I'm being a little bit sarcastic
on a college, liberal arts college campus where, you know, free speech is supposed to be, you know, that's the birthing ground of free speech, supposedly.
It's the cornerstone of all of our liberties. So this is humongous, and I hope people are paying attention. Let's jump in real quickly. We've been on the third member of the Stark Trinity, and we're talking about Ishtar, the sorceress, and we were highlighting
from this book, The Return of the Gods.
Yeah, Return of the Gods, Jonathan Cahn. A lot of what we're talking about is going to shine some light on the series we're doing. So even if you don't attend Living Stones, maybe you're listening from somewhere else, I hope you'll tune into our live stream on Sunday morning, because it's going to be incredibly relevant to what it is to be a man, what it is to be a woman. But we said, because of our rebellion and our turning away from God's law, or our just ignorance of God's law, we're seeing a return of these principalities and powers into American culture. And we highlighted the fact that Ishtar is not just a woman or a goddess. She has a dark side, a mysterious side, where she's also pushing the envelope and having masculine qualities. And her goal is to transform men into women and women into men. And this is not something new and cutting edge. This is something very primitive and ancient, because these spirits have been around for a long time, since the fall, right? Mm-hmm. Before the fall. Anyway, so we highlighted her blueprint as a transformer, as one who likes to push boundaries, break conventions, blur distinctions, merge opposites, confuse, and invert. So if Ishtar came to America, she would seek to alter the definition of male and female. Check that one off, right? She would move to blur the lines and nullify the distinctions between what is masculine and feminine. Check box number two. She would act to transform the nature of a man and woman. Yep, got that one. She'd seek to feminize that which was male and masculinize all that was female. That's currently happening. She would attempt to turn a man into a woman and a woman into a man. She would war against the sanctity of sexuality, biblical sexuality and gender, by confusing and merging the one into the other. And she said, or he mentions, this would usher in the next stage of American paganization. So we're seeing all of that. We get into our talk today about the metamorphosis of women. So we want to look specifically at what has happened in our culture as it relates to our understanding of a woman. Mm-hmm. And he highlights, Jonathan Cahn, he says that, of course, we know about Ishtar's sexual feminine qualifications or qualities, but other traditionally feminine qualities were missing from her, particularly those linked to nurturing, qualities like empathy, gentleness, compassion. So when you look at this demonic deity, feminine goddess, she's not like a woman in that there's not a sense of maternal grace or quality about her. Mm-hmm. There's nothing nurturing about her. In fact, we find just the opposite. We find that her temperament was a lot like a man. And just look at our culture today and tell me if we're not seeing a push to make women in this image. Ishtar was a fighter, assertive, aggressive, dominant, combative, competitive, courageous, fierce, strong, independent, violent, brave, and ferocious. Her nature and power, Ishtar's, was to turn others, to turn a woman into a man, to turn a man into a woman. So let's talk a little bit about the defeminization of women in our culture today, and how He makes the point, now we've seen this happen for the last 50 years, if Ishtar is going to have an entrance in our culture, if there's going to be a defeminization of women, she first of all has to weaken the traditional biblical male-female paradigm. So let's talk about that. You know, when we think about men in the Bible, I think of three things God's called men to do. God's called men to provide for their wives and children, to protect, and that's where the strength of a man is to be used to serve and to protect. And the third thing is he's the pastor. He's to be the leader. He's to be the initiator. And again, all this is in a with Jesus Christ as the template and the model for what all that looks like. So what you're going to see is if Ishtar wants to separate or to twist that, then she has to put those qualities on women. So the first area that we saw a push in under feminism was to get women out of the home and get women in the workplace. Mm-hmm. What do you think was the push behind all of that? Why would Ishtar want to get women out of the home and into the workplace?
Yeah, it's a sense of independence. It's a sense of, like, I don't need a man.
I don't need you. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that was rooted, to be in all fairness, in ungodly, secularized manhood, toxic manhood, which we'll get into, where men were mistreating women, where men were
taking for granted. Stuff
treating them like a doormat, not honoring, divorcing them. And so now you got a woman who's trying to raise kids by her single mom, and she's got maybe no training or no job outside the home. I mean, we understand why there's reasons that were, you know, like the brokenness of humanity was exploited. Yeah. But the goal was, I don't need you.
Right.
And so instead of a complementary nature between the sexes, now we have an attitude that says, I don't need you. I'm going to go. I got my own paycheck. I don't need to be dependent upon you. If anything happens, you know, forget you. I'm good. I mean, it was rooted, again, in that kind of competition, that fierce, I am woman, I don't need a man.
Yeah, and there's that kind of idea of, like, anything you can do, I can do.
Yep.
Well, that's a mixed bag. Because there are certain things, and I'm talking about in general, not specific, in general, there are some things that a man can do that a woman can do.
And vice versa.
But there's a lot of things that you don't want to do. You want a man to do that. You know, and vice versa for, you know, like I think about my wife and bearing children. Like, I can't do that.
instead of celebrating that as what we used to do, I mean, that was a uniqueness of a woman, a privilege, an honor, something special to bring forth life into the world. I'm not talking about the pain of delivery. I'm not minimizing that, but I'm saying in general, to be a woman was an amazing thing. And we celebrated that difference. We didn't try to give men wombs. It's a blessing.
Yeah, right.
As we are today with the whole...
But instead of celebrating that, you're saying, no, I don't want that. I want actually what you have, and I can do that better. It's like, whoa, but you as a woman have been giving amazing gifts. Like, why are you diminishing your amazing gifts and trying to say, I'm better than you at these other things? So I agree with you. I think in the beginning, maybe there was like a reactionary to some of the misuse of masculinity, but then it's like taking way too far, and which is not good for women in itself. It's like they're diminishing themselves.
So you have both men and women now being forced into the marketplace. Some of this is because of bad government, too. I mean, when our taxes are out of control, now you have to have two incomes just to survive. At least that's what the argument is. But the point is, when you're breaking up the home like that, and it used to be husbands and wives operated out of the home because there was an agricultural society. Of course, the Industrial Revolution changed all that. Now we got men being sent out instead of being at home during the day, women having to work as well. So it's no surprise that marriage declined. No surprise that divorces increased. Women were forced to take on traditionally male roles as provider and protector. And they were told to seek meaning not in motherhood and the family, but if they really wanted a life, they needed to find their identity, not in their home, but in the workplace. Mm-hmm. And so that was a huge shift. Of course, it led to a rise of infidelity and other kinds of things that led to the breakdown of the family. But basically, if women are programmed that, hey, you're also a protector, you're also a provider, then that begins to change their identity. And so you find women becoming more aggressive, competitive, dominant, and even fierce. And we've seen our society bombarded with messages about girl power, which is basically a celebration of empowerment, independence, confidence, strength and all of that. And as you said, it's like anything. I remember that famous musical, right? Anything you can do, I can do better, you know. Mm-hmm. And so instead of a harmony between the sexes and a complementing of the sexes, we have a competing of the sexes that has led to this crazy denial of biological and gender differences. I mean, we could list hundreds of biological differences between men and women. And so now we got this crazy thing where, and I even was saying, you know, like with the Caitlin Clark phenomenon, you know, talk like she's so good she can compete with, you know, with men, those types of things. And it's silliness at the end of the day, not because she's not an incredible basketball player. She is, but she's not a man. And therefore, there's just going to be limitations, biological limitations. Mm-hmm. Now, she's going to do a whole lot of other things, a whole lot better than any men can, because of her femininity and the way God's wired women. But the point is, it's just silliness when we deny God-given boundaries and order and the way God has arranged things between men and women and how they're different. Mm-hmm. And so what's interesting is now instead of just an empowerment of women, hey, you know, you should have the equal opportunity. We're not arguing against some of those things, but it's created a rage. It's created a hatred against men. Jonathan Kahn points out that Ishtar was bent on breaking conventions and traditions. And so she's going to reject traditional feminine roles and instead compete with men, fight with men, defy men, and dominate men. And this is where we have the whole rise of kind of a radical feminism, mm-hmm. which, again, isn't about equal rights for women. It's really about an exaltation of femininity and a suppression of masculinity. In fact, in some cases, a hatred of masculinity altogether. The Washington Post ran an article by a gender studies professor that was titled, "Why Can't We Hate Men?" There's also a really popular hashtag out that says, hashtag kill all men. Now, here we've gone beyond just simply a recognition of equal opportunity to where one gender is actually hating the other gender and not even embarrassed about it. I mean, this is a movement of just all-out hatred against men. Men should not be leading anything. Men are toxic, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So it's interesting that, again, what God created as a complementary union turns out to be an all-out hatred of one gender against the other, which is exactly what Satan wants to do, is to separate, to divide, and to cancel.
And again, hating men and demasculating men is not good for women at the end of the day.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why a lot of great women can't find great husbands, because men have been demasculated and been told that they can't do it and they haven't been raised up correctly. That's not helpful to these women either. You know, I believe women are amazingly talented. They're amazingly gifted. And some women are called in the marketplace. They have great giftings. Yep. And they're called to have an amazing career, 100%. But we're not responding that with a chip on your shoulder. You know, it's a place of, like you say, harmony, working together, loving the gifts that we found in each other, not the sense of, like, we're better than you. Whenever it becomes, I'm better than you, I have a chip on my shoulder, and I feel like I recognize the issue is me. You know, I got to deal with the issues on my heart, and that's kind of what's happening on the larger level. But the parent on the Ishtar explains that, because it's not just about some social movement. There's a spiritual side to all this,
the spiritual warfare behind it. Yeah. And along with the whole thing of, you know, girl power is the hatred for what we call patriarchy. You know, that the root of that word means father, and again, a strong, loving, gentle, kind, godly man leading his family, leading his society by means of serving. That's all been twisted also. So now men, you know, consider women inferior, or they mistreat them, or they abuse them, or they look at them as sex objects, which is also Ishtar's work, because she's fueling this whole perverted sexual revolution. Mm-hmm. And so we have all this rise of the patriarchy, get rid of patriarchy, et cetera, overthrow the patriarchy. An ancient Sumerian poem described Ishtar this way: goddess of the fearsome divine powers, clad in terror, riding on the great divine powers, Inanna or Ishtar, drenched in blood, rushing around in great battles. You destroy mighty lands with arrow and strength, and you overpower lands. And so we see from this ancient Sumerian poem that part of Ishtar's nature was that of a fighter or a warrior. And so, again, we've seen this move in popular culture and even in our military to the feminization of warriors, the woman warrior. Now, again, I could get in a thousand studies on the difference just in terms of biology and strength. A man's upper body is something like 75% stronger than a woman's upper body, which is why you're not going to see women excelling on anything that requires them to swing from one branch to the next, pull themselves up on a rope, any of that kind of thing where they have to be suspended by, you know, holding their own body weight. They're not going to do well. That's not where their strength lies. And yet you see these Hollywood movies where the woman is grabbing onto a rock ledge with one hand, holding a man in her other arm. That is a biological impossibility.
It's Hollywood.
It's Hollywood. It's nonsense. But it's Ishtar. It's women are just as strong and powerful as men. And so you see some woman who's also a sexual, you know, goddess in terms of her body. She's wearing a skin tight outfit and she's body slamming men over her shoulder 15 at a time. And you're just watching that, and I don't know if it's just me, but I turn those things off in a second because I just go, this is stupid. This is just stupid. So what it does is the only guys I could think that would be into that are effeminate guys. So it turns guys into women. And then you got women that are like, yeah, I feel empowered. I can throw, you know, 200-pound man over my shoulder. I weigh 98 pounds. No, that's stupid. That's exactly what the spirit is.
There's a reason why Hollywood's bleeding money left and right, and big companies like Disney and Warner Brothers are losing money left and right, because you're right. Most people don't want to see that.
No.
That doesn't resonate with the general audience who are not overt worshipers of these ideology. And even those who are don't want to go pay money to go see that because it's not entertaining, you know? What's happening. Yeah, that's reality.
It's woke. It's ridiculous, and we know there's an agenda behind it. And here's the other thing that concerned me. You know, it used to be, if Congress ever tried passing a law that empowered a draft for our daughters to serve in active military combat positions, mm-hmm. there would be outrage from any man. I'll say any legitimate man would be outraged. Number one, that we have become a nation of cowards. Where we would want to put our girls on the front line in the battle, we would go, no, that's not the role of women. That's not where we want our daughters to be. We want that's a call for men. Men are called to lay our lives down. Men are called to sacrifice. There are other ways, obviously, in all of our war efforts that women have served.
Right.
Frontline battle is not one of them. Hand-to-hand combat is not one of them.
I'm laughing because you just remind me of a skit by Babylon Bee, Babylon Bee, they're satires, right?
They're satire.
It's like a guy's like, oh, I'm the greatest champion of woman rights and whatnot. And he's like cheering his wife, changing the tires on their car. And he's like, they're just like, I'm gonna allow my wife to change. You see her wife, his wife is just like, you know, sweating, trying to get the tire. And he's there just supervising, watching. It's like, you know, because I'm trying to get you to empower you to care. I believe in you. And just like, you know, watching her sweat and changing the tires. And I remember just watching that. I was like, that's kind of like the fruition of this worldview. Right?
It is. Oh, absolutely. And here's the point. You hit the nail on the head. Ishtar's goal is to deprive women, isolate women. She does it through this whole empowerment, fierceness, et cetera. But what it does is it actually destroys any romantic inclination at all. So here's what we have happening. Because of Baal's influence, we've rejected the law of God. We've rejected the boundaries for sexual intimacy. And so now we have men who don't want to get married because all they do, they work their job. They live in their mom's basement. They watch porn on their phone, or they go sleep around with girls who don't have any values about that. And so they have sex, they have money, they live in their mom's basement, they play video games. They have no motivation at all to find a wife, to marry her, to build a family.
To commit to her.
To commit to her. they have their, you know, they have their sexual thrills. They don't need commitment. They find enough women who have bought into the whole lie of empowerment that they can be as immoral as a guy, and that's somehow equal rights and liberating. Yeah. They're the losers. The guy's the losers. There's no family formation. And then on the other hand, you got women who are trying to be everything a man is, and you got men sitting there going, this is nothing. There's nothing attractive. There's nothing beautiful. There's nothing, you know, that makes me want to spend time with you when basically you emasculate me. You tell me I'm not needed, that you don't need protection. You know, you can throw 300-pound men off the wall from 20 feet away. You don't need me as a economic source. What's the use of a man? In other words, everybody's a loser in this situation. It says, again, according to the ancient Mesopotamian text, speaks of women whom Ishtar has deprived of husbands. It says Ishtar promised the liberation of women, and yet studies into the state of a woman's well-being reveal that since the beginning of the transformation, they had instead grown progressively unhappier, which was your point. They are now less likely to be married, more likely to be in the workforce, less likely to be fulfilled, and more likely to be alone. I mean, so this is sad. So the very thing that a typical woman would want would be to find a husband, to spend the rest of your life together, to raise a family, to care for your kids, to be the nurturer, right? To love and support and be a helper for your husband. All of that has been mocked and ridiculed by the spirit of Ishtar. And now instead of women finding fulfillment through liberation, they're more miserable. They hate men more than ever, and they're more alone. That's the fruit of a lie. And that's what Satan's all about. And that's what Ishtar's all about. So women are not in a better condition now. They're in a worse condition now as it relates to their well-being. So once again, the fruit of a bad worldview. And I think, again, you look at our culture, we are seeing the full effects of Ishtar, you know, in our culture today. A lot of men are saying, you know, I can't find a woman that I'm interested in marrying. And a lot of women are saying, where have all the men gone?
Yeah, where are the men? Who has a job? Where's the men who's going to protect me?
Who's excited about finding a wife? Like, it used to be, you that was your goal.
Yeah.
You wanted to find your wife, and you wanted to start building your family and your home.
Who's going to commit to me and not be flaky, you know? Absolutely.
So this could not be more important. That's why I really want to dive into this from a biblical perspective on the series we're kicking off, because I get tired of seeing, you know, single ladies in our church that would love to find a godly man, and it seems like they're nowhere to be found, or vice versa. Men that really want to find a godly wife, and they're having trouble, you know, finding a godly woman. So anyway, these are things that... And if families are not formed, right, we don't have strong marriages, and we're not passing down godly principles and values to the next generation, if there's no family formation, you eventually lose your nation.
Yeah.
So family formation is huge to the health and well-being of our society. And nations that don't do it well don't last long. And that's where America is headed. So Lord, help us. So anyway, we hope this has been helpful to you. Please, if you like this podcast, please share it. We love to hear your comments too, even if it's just, hey, pastors, we enjoyed the podcast today. Please interact with us. We hope, again, this is adding some biblical foundation and structure, Christian worldview that helps you navigate the realities which we're facing every day in modern life. So thanks again for tuning in. We look forward to seeing you next Thursday.